I always go in nervous because I don't know shit about fuck. But then, like,
there's a hierarchy that everyone accepts. There's no bitching on the road. There's a very accepted hierarchy in Germany that if you're driving your Nissan or whatever, and you see in your rearview mirror a Porsche, a BMW, whatever speeding, you make way for it. There's no, none of this, I have the right to be here on the left lane too, or, you know, who does that guy think he is, you know, fucking posing with his car. But there's a, and again, it's not even that, like, that doesn't exist. It's just, you see a car speeding, you make way for that car as safely and quickly as you can.
Massive? A Suzuki? Not likely, but okay. I mean,
so funny.
So, like, I was gonna ask you, what you were describing for the Netherlands, is that like the ULEZ in London?
I'm not familiar with those.
The ULEZ is that one where it's like they start issuing tickets if your car is too old and it has a certain level of emissions and like there's a detector. And so the idea that you don't know how to mail a letter or you don't know how to butcher a cow or, you know, dress a deer or gut a fish or whatever and or grow something in a yard, right? And the idea that you don't know what goes into that is not okay. Like,
it's disturbing.
You can't live, you might be able to live without it for a while.
Hello everyone, a little reminder, this is hashtag team no delusion. Nothing is edited, nothing is polished up, everything is raw, everything is straight imported onto the podcast because I don't want to participate in none of that Hollywood nonsense. Everything has to look perfectly, everything has to look fake, everything has to look a certain way. So you'll get a little before we go into the episode. I've been having and receiving lots of requests on information like, what are my offerings right now? What's happening? What will be happening? And as I am currently kind of in aside from being in a rebranding, I'm trying to figure out and level up my own methods right now. So there will be another Dollar Academy, which is the money course, 6 months. I'm currently practicing and working and refining methods for a discipline room, how to become a luck magnet. I have redneck magic coming up. I have rural life. I have Louboutin riches. I have everything. Everything is coming up. Be sure to be subscribed to my email list on thedollaracademy.com. And if you can't find it or if it's too much effort, just hit me with a DM and just give me your name and email and I'll put you there on manually myself. I have lots of good stuff coming from tiny luck exponential magnet amplifications for like $9 to several thousand dollar programs. So I promise you, I'm trying to cater to as broad as possible and I'm trying to get everyone involved. So yeah, get involved and I can't wait to see you in. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone here today at Fearless Wealth as I am closing off anything that could make a sound, which I should have done before, but yet here we are. Welcome today at Fearless Wealth with your Diamonds and Demons episode. Diamonds and Demons solving the world and shit. Me and Kelly have not spoken today about like stuff. Oh, hey, do you want to talk about that? So she does not know of my mood and state, as the listeners evidently don't know either. So I figured I would just use you as a mirror and feedback and reflection. You go whoop my ass too. First of all, how are you?
I'm fine. Just did my taxes, so that's always fun.
What feeling does it conjure?
I'll tell you what, my tax guy works miracles. So my boy has never let me down. And as far as I'm concerned, he pays for himself. So I always go in nervous because I don't know shit about fuck. But then like, he's just like, nah, you're good. He's like, you're so poor. Your child can literally use you on their financial aid documents and qualify for financial aid. I was like, lovely, let's go. So yes, your girl broke as fuck.
That's so good. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so if people in Arizona need a good tax guy, they'll have to privately reach out and,
Yeah.
and we'll funnel him.
Yeah. He's hard to get. I've been going to him for years and like I had to wait. I made my appointment in January and they're like, "Yeah, we don't have anything till March." And I was like, "Fuck." Okay. So I just took the first thing and did it. But yeah, he's hard to get, but he's and he's my age, so I know he's not going to retire before me. So
Oh, right.
you know, like
Word.
if he was a genius but he's 75, I'd be so screwed in 2 years.
Oh my God. Yeah, like I can only enjoy you for 2 more years.
I know, and then I gotta go find your protege. Who is your protege?
Oh my God. Too funny.
So, yeah. But yeah, otherwise I'm actually good, so I'll be resurfacing my pool and doing other mundane shit like that and
I figured before pouring my own feelings on you, I should elaborate on the post or what I have discovered. So I've
okay.
been exposed in the in the deep, not so deep corners actually, at the very surface level corners of the interweb, that after the somewhat like altruistic younger generation, the college kids, right? There's now that has evolved now into a, and I'm not sure how big the subculture is, but it is big enough for me to have conjured a storm on my Twitter when I referred that I like a big truck, and I posted a big truck, right?
Oh, yeah,
Proper
I remember
American
that.
lifted, et cetera, et cetera. And I was met with such hate, violent wishes
Over
for,
your truck?
yes. So aside from a lot of people saying like, hey, that's hideous, and that's fine, right? Because
Right.
I will respond to every single person. I'm like, I understand this is not for everyone, because
Right.
I'm fine with that. I'm even like, even though people try to elicit a certain reaction, they were like, oh my God, I want to puke, I want to poke my eyes out. I'm like, I get it's okay. I can entertain that, right? Because again,
Sure.
I'll say I understand this is absolutely not for everyone. It's an it's
Yeah.
a it's a very, very colorful,
Yeah,
and
let's
out
face reality.
there,
Huh.
right? However, it triggered again a huge subculture, which I initially, when initially being met with it, I thought it was satire. So these are college kids. That's how absurd it seemed to me, right? They're coming with their ideas, and I'm legit thinking, oh, this is satire, or it's like fucking sarcasm or something. And these are kids who believe that all motor vehicles should be banned, but specifically the bigger ones, and that everyone should return to pedestrian or bicycles. And one of the angles obviously being used is environment. The second one that's being used is that motor vehicles are number two in the way they interpret it, statistic, number two killer of children.
Technically, no, but okay. I can
Right.
unpack
So
that a little bit, but
it's funny. So, but I figured like we could absolutely dissect that.
yeah. Yeah.
Because I
Yeah.
initially I thought, well, they refer just to the big truck, and them, referring to those as obnoxious, or there's this whole movement now online where this sub generation is posting pictures next to big trucks in cities and be like, these should be banned. Look at, two cars could have parked here. This is ugly. Like any reasoning that they deem valid. And when they provided me with statistics, the number num in that graph, the number two death of adults and children was indeed motor vehicle related incidents. And
Right.
out of the out of and like and it became very complex, right? So it's like whether they sat in a car again, adult or kid, that got into an accident, whether that was due to alcohol, whether that was due to bad weather, whether that was due to negligence of right. the car not being up par, whether it was negligence because they weren't paying attention and just rammed into someone on a cross section, right? Like, so there were so many factors. And mind you, I'm actually, so as someone who's pro Autobahn, it's always interesting for me to look at the numbers when it comes to in relation to cars in non-Autobahn nations, because one would think that the Autobahn has like an extremely high and it's the one of the lowest in the world,
yeah,
because there's an extreme high etiquette and everyone upholds and it's not something you learn when you go to Germany. You don't learn the rules. They're not even written. But they are so visibly expressed in how people behave on the road that it keeps the etiquette very much alive. And the hate that I've been met with, like nothing good would come of there would only come good out of this if this truck would be hit by a train, and then later in the caveat, sure, minus the person in it or something, like, you know, like they had to bring the, and I'm just like, oh, y'all went in. But so these people are serious.
Okay. And so there's a couple of things swirling in there, right? The first is that the killer of children, it's mainly because people don't properly use car seats. Like they don't install them correctly. The fire department will do it for free. You literally can take your car seat in and they'll install it properly and then you'll have it in there. But nobody wants to bother doing that. And so most of the kids that are dying because the parents just don't bother taking care of their kids in the first place and doing their due diligence, which isn't that hard. Like it isn't that hard. And if it is that hard, somebody else will do it for you. Like, you know, so I mean, to me, that's a little bit sketchy. And like you said, it was kind of nondescript on the conditions under which that happened, right?
Right.
Second, having to do with the etiquette you were talking about, there's etiquette and then there's understanding the risk. So, for example, Chris always says, if you really want safe drivers, instead of having a horn, put a spike there. Watch everybody just suddenly chill the fuck out on the road. Because if anybody collides with anyone, they're going to be impaled by a spike here in their chest, you know, like that's how bad it is. So like if the more immediate the consequence, the more cautious someone is. Now, another analogy for that would be the difference between rugby versus American football, right? Rugby has far less safety gear. Aussie footy also less safety gear than American football. American football players take more risk because they have the illusion of safety from their gear. And there's higher occurrences of concussions in American football than there is in rugby, despite the fact that in rugby they don't wear helmets and they don't wear the shoulder pad. They don't wear half the shit that American football players do. So the reality is that the reason why the Autobahn is safer is in large part due to the fact that it's that combination, the psychological combination of thinking there's a spike instead of a horn, and I don't have the same safety gear, right? So it's that same mentality that there are no rules to protect me, right? And the reality is that there were never any rules to protect you in the first place, right? The rules were never there to protect you. They're retrospective. So like, it's only when something goes wrong will those rules actually matter in finding liability, not preventing the actual accident, right? So Autobahn drivers understand there aren't any rules, and therefore we all just have to be really cool really quickly and we'll be fine.
Right, and on that note, and this is something that I don't want to even say American minds, that most non-German minds cannot understand. There's a hierarchy that everyone accepts. There's no bitching on the road. There's a very accepted hierarchy in Germany that if you're driving your Nissan or whatever, and you see in your rearview mirror a Porsche, a BMW, whatever speeding, you make way for it. There's none of this, I have the right to be here on the left lane too, or, you know, who does that guy think he is, you know, fucking posing with his car. But there's and again, it's not even that, like that doesn't exist. It's just, you see a car speeding, you make way for that car as safely and quickly as you can. Mm-hmm. And then once it passed, you can continue if you desire to do so in the left lane.
Similar to states that have lane splitting, legalized lane splitting for motorcycles like California. I was brought up and I learned to drive in California where lane splitting for motorcycles, they can weave in and out of traffic. And it was mainly so that they could get out of the way because they are small and oftentimes unseen. So they tried it. They're constantly just trying to get out of people's blind spots. And so they're allowed to lane split. So when you see a motorcycle coming from behind, you take the car that you're in and just shift a little bit, you know, to the edge of the lane, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're in the far left lane where there's space mm-hmm. and there's usually a shoulder, you can shift a little bit and you show them I'm yielding so that you can keep going. And that way I know I'm not worried about a motorcycle in my mirror. I acknowledge that you're there. That does exist in states where that's the law and therefore the road culture. And it's less so here, I've noticed, where people complain a lot about lane splitting here in Arizona.
Well, specifically in Arizona, lane splitting is fairly new.
Right.
So there, no, like a culture hasn't cultivated yet. And it's
right.
one
so
thing that
I'm freaking out about it. Right.
They're freaking out. And one thing that as a former pro biker, that you know, bikes were the main reason that got me to the US. I have been absolutely shocked at the war between the vehicles and the yeah. outrage, just the random outrage against bikers and bikers hating cars just as much and actively trying to violence against each other. And I have so many stories. And you know, riding around in big groups, there were plenty of times even then, but specifically in hindsight where I'm like, nah, that wasn't smart on our behalf. Plus when you ride around in bigger groups, motorcycles, you know, everyone gets pumped up, including myself. So that's not optimal in when it comes to like how to behave in a matter that, you know, is worthy of respect. But there will have plenty of times when I drove around on my motorcycle on my own and people would try to legit swerve at me, and not in a manner where I'm like, oh, I just don't think you've seen me. Cause okay, again, I'm, you know, I learned how to ride motorcycle in Europe, and we are always being taught that you have to ride in a way with the mindset that everyone is trying to kill you, and not because they have malicious intent, but because they simply do not see you. So
right.
that's so being pumped into me. Right. So I can see you. I can tell when someone is not seeing me versus when some people make eye contact and actively try to swerve right. at you. And that's such a wild thing.
It is. And I think, you know, but I think there is also the, you know, and in all of this whole idea of, you know, green, ecological, whatever, plus safety, right? We weren't put on this earth to be safe. The whole fucking universe wants us dead. You know, like for all intents and purposes.
Everything is war.
Yeah.
Everything is war.
Right. And I think, you know, and I think people need to get off of that where it's like, because what ends up happening is they inevitably back into the need argument. You don't need a truck like that. It doesn't even matter. You don't need to be online, but here the fuck you are. You know, we are superfluous beings. I posted about this on Facebook before, and this was more about, you know, I was addressing more of like, you know, people's mannerisms and whether or not, and mm-hmm. people, what people say. But the same thing, it keeps backing into that because it's whether it's you don't need that truck, you don't need that gun, you don't need to talk that way, you don't need to be mean, whatever it is you don't need to do, it's not even, we are not dealing in a space of need. This isn't about needs, you know, like this is about like, self self-direction and self-governance and self-actualization and letting people pursue whatever it is they choose to pursue while they're here on this earth for whatever limited amount of time. And the idea that somebody has a notion in their head where it's like, you don't need to do that. That's so extra. That's so, you know, you're just doing the most right now. And it's like, yes, I am. And you have superfluous things in your life that I'm not sitting here nitpicking either.
Well, and this idea, if we would, like, because I am willing, even for the sake of conversation and the entertainment of set notion, right, like the need, I am absolutely willing to even play along with that and to playfully see where we agree on what is this need we're speaking of, right? Because if we speak of need, we're talking about the basic fucking fundamentals, which is a version of shelter, not a fucking house or apartment, right?
Right.
Some version of food, not Starbucks, not supermarkets, not nothing, right? Right. And warmth and whatever, but if we're going to speak of needs, I'm absolutely willing to play with that, but I can guarantee you that you'll be the first one off that list on your phone, on the internet, on Twitter, on a Facebook, in a college, in a city.
Yeah. There is shopping. No actual dispute about what actual needs are. That's the thing. You're creating a dispute out of thin air. That's not a real discussion. This is not a real premise. What it is that you're offended by something I have or something I said. It offends your sensibilities. You have a sense, you have a value system that says that this crazy truck that I want is offensive in some way to you. And you're trying to make a case against it. And the only
that
way
you want it banned.
But right. Exactly.
You want like, it's not only I'm offended, which is also like, again, we'll always make fun of the leftovers, but the fact that you're connecting a political or a, cultural notion to a confinement around that, like that's next level,
right? And in any other prohibition, it's gonna fail, right? Like that is one of the reasons why I, for whatever issues I have with people's choices and behaviors, if I can't make a case for my position that is compelling enough, then too fucking bad for me. Right. That's it. I have to take that loss. I take the L and I go home and I try to rebuild my argument and try to make it better. But the idea that like I can't make this case, but I can make someone force you to do this anyway, if I leverage my political backing or my, my cohort of voters or my support.
Virtue.
Right. Mm-hmm. And my virtue. And I can coax somebody into doing this for me. Then I don't really need a compelling argument. And then what ends up happening is stupid shit like lockdowns. And, that's where you end up. You end up with lockdowns. You end up with 15-minute cities and high surveillance. And, you end up with all of this stuff, all in the name of safety. But at some point, you're...
In the name of greater good.
Right. And the greater good. And these nebulous terms that don't, when you really unpack them, don't mean anything. All it means is that you're expendable, right?
Right. For one, and more so the Netherlands specifically as an example has, so obviously we don't have trucks in Europe. That's not a thing. And the American mind cannot comprehend. They're like, how do you exist? I don't know, with like
how does this
cars and trucks and like we know trailers and like tractors. Like, I don't know. Like now that I'm American, I'm like, how do we exist?
How did I get through life?
Like, I've lived on farms. I've lived in cities. I've lived rural. I'm like, how do we exist? I'm like legit wondering. And I even asked my aunt, I'm like, how did we transport big things like hay? And she's like, well, with the tractor. I'm like, that's it? She's like, yeah. I'm like, geez.
You're right.
Why do we have trucks? So the American mind can't comprehend. I have a dog here that wants attention. But so Europe, West Europe, several countries, Netherlands specifically using as an example, has started with the ban of certain cars in city centers. And they obviously use that under, they shoved it down everyone's throat under the preface of, environment, right? So we don't want elder cars here because the CO2, or we don't want big certain size or whatever fucking ammunition. Is that
emissions?
Emission. Thank you.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's like the prior to that, right? Like, so when the city people go like ban the big trucks, and ironically, oh my God, it was so funny. Someone commented saying like, when I'm just have to read it for you. Why don't you just first? Someone said, first of all, you'll never find any parking space for that, and second of all, you'll never be able to steer that properly. And why don't you pick a reasonable vehicle such as, and then gave me a list of fucking Japanese, Nissan and whatever
Oh,
fucking I,
reasonable.
that, thank you.
Okay.
That phrase, the
You are the
reasonable.
last person to be talking to me about reasonable. Because the audacity alone in
Oh,
this
here.
comment.
Good luck steering that monstrosity at any decent speed or finding a parking space for it. Maybe get something more reasonable, like a Nissan or a Honda. Or if you really insist on something massive, maybe a Toyota or a Suzuki.
What?
Oh my God.
Massive? A Suzuki? Not likely, but okay. I mean,
So funny.
so like, oh, I was gonna ask you, is are you what you were describing for the Netherlands, is that like the ULEZ in London?
I'm not familiar with those.
The ULEZ is that one where it's like they start issuing tickets if your car is too old. And it has a certain level of emissions, and like there's a detector that goes off and gets a picture. Okay, so it's the same.
So I'm not sure if so I don't even know what their tracking method is actually.
Oh, okay. But they have one.
Because when I lived in near the city, I didn't have a car. So right, so like it kind of exists out of your and my last car, which was a BMW M4, I lived outside of the city. So I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm sure there's it's a similar technology because London
I'm
has it,
assuming.
but they don't have it outside of London so much. They want to expand it, but that's the whole thing.
Right.
Okay, so it's that kind of thing. Yeah, and it I mean, I guess the thing is it's like, okay, but I wasn't asking for suggestions on alternatives to this truck in the first place. So
Well, first
you're
of all, I was
answering
just thinking like, oh my God, this is my dream.
I mean, and I don't see, I mean, but if you think about it, is that everybody's dream to have that truck? Not really. It's a very
That's why I'm
niche
saying
thing.
it's my dream.
No, right, but what I'm saying is that it's not popular enough to freak out about. You know
Well,
what I'm saying?
that's my thing, even with the motorcycle, with the motor vehicle deaths. Like, it's not big of enough number to even
Right.
contemplate to ban vehicles.
Right. Yet much, I mean, much less these larger vehicles, but like it's kind of, I mean, you know, it's one of those where it's like when they talk about gun violence and they talk about the statistics of gun violence and it they try to cross apply the argument of gun violence and gun related deaths, right,
Which
to
is the number
AR-15.
one death cause.
But then like what they do is they take a situation where there was an AR-15 involved and then they use a statistic that involves handguns and they try to conflate the argument and say, well, it's all guns. And it's like, right, but you're also equating, homicides to suicides. Like you can't do that. Like that doesn't that that's it doesn't make any sense. Like you either you're going to use statistics and you're going to use this database and you're going to use it properly or just don't bother using it. But for you to
But
you're
that's not
clearly
how it works, though.
manipulating the data, you know?
No. I fully agree with you. But seeing this specifically, this conversation being brought up every fucking single day,
Right.
the problem comes back to where rational people are trying to either point out the fallacy in the data that the other person is using, and the other person is just using that as a extra bonus to push out a certain virtue. So it's all so even if we threw out all the statistics on the leftover side, they'll still play into feelings, right? So
Right.
the statistics don't need to be accurate because we're not really using them anyway.
Right. The real backbone of this is that it makes me feel a certain way.
And I promise we will jump right back into the conversation and the episode. But in the meantime, I would like you to hit the like, hit the subscribe, hit the share, and mostly get involved on my socials, get involved on my Instagram, get involved in the conversation on Facebook, get on my email list. You know how much I have been, let's say it, ostracized and removed from certain spaces. So if my Facebook one day disappears, you won't know where to find me. So get on my email list on dollaracademy.com. Thank you so much. Meanwhile, snap a little picture of it, do a screenshot, share it on your Instagram, tag me. I will absolutely reshare, and any feedback and everything is possible is very welcome too. Thank you so much. Now let's go back to the episode.
And that's it. That's the crux of my argument, is that it makes me feel a certain way. And it's, you know, and I get fearful when I see big tall trucks, and when I see, you know, big bad guns, and when I see, you know, like it's like, and it's like they just got, I mean, it's like vegans who talk about how it's like, if you knew where your steak came from, you wouldn't eat it. And I'm like, I know exactly where a steak comes from. Like,
I fucking
what?
butchered the steak myself. What are you
I was like,
talking about?
what? I said, that's not
Right.
true. I said, you have plenty of hunters who go out and literally catch a deer. They hunt down a deer. They carry that motherfucker all the way home. They dress him down, break him up, put him in the freezer. I'm like, they do the whole fucking kit and caboodle, and they don't waste a single thing. They use every fucking thing on that
Right.
animal. And what they can't use, they sell it to somebody who can. And so I've, no, that's not true. I've been to farms. People have been to farms. People know exactly where their meat comes from. Like, and it's like they act as, and I'm like,
Sue the
you're so
people.
ignorant of the process yourself that you've terrified yourself in that. Like you've scared yourself in your own ignorance, you know? And they were
Right.
like, if you knew where this came from, I'm like, I know exactly where it comes from, and I don't have a problem with it. Like everybody knows where gelatin comes from. Everybody knows where glue comes from. There's a picture of a cow on
I
it.
think you're having a too gracious perception of humanity right now, 'cause I legit don't think they do. And Brazil is a perfect example because they did a commercial in regards to this where people, so there's like a hidden camera in a supermarket and people go to the butcher at the supermarket, right? And they're like, you know, I don't know, fucking 5 pounds of pork chops. I don't fucking know. And for the sake of that experiment, the butcher has like a, you know, it has like a box, grabs a piggy and puts it in like a slaughter machine. And this is all, again, this is all just played because it takes significantly longer than that. So they artificially add with technology the sound, like, you know, you're right, a piggy fucking squealing. And then because what they don't know, there's a person sitting in that machine, and the butcher comes up and hands him a package of pork chops, right? And all the people in that commercial, it's almost like a documentary. It's a tiny documentary, by lack of better wording. All the people are like, "What the fuck did you just do?" And he's like, "Wait, did you not want?" He's like, "Yeah, but I didn't want it like that." And he's like, "Wait, what did you?" So I legit do not think,
It's
and it's
possible.
the same, and it's the same thing. There's a So I used to have this idea, again, prefacing this with being anti-government, anti-regulation, but I had the idea that if I would have to, you know, implement some version of restriction or rule, I would like the rule that everyone who does eat meat, as a meat eater myself, would have to go hunting or kill an animal once a year themselves. I don't care about the size, just to keep close to its process. And I actually thought of that. To do that, so people don't just fucking waste. Because I'm East European, we don't waste food. Like everything gets used, right? We do not throw away food. If it's old, like first of all, I still feel bad when I see something in my fridge go old. Like I legit feel a deep badness within me. So my reasoning for that was like, if I had to implement the rules that everyone who does eat meat has to kill its own animal once a year just to keep close to that process. I don't care how big it is, how small it is, but just to keep close enough. So there's a, because there's a, I do think there's a fundamental difference between rational theoretic knowledge, and this applies to everything, right? Like I know that my animals get butchered versus experiencing that. And I think it adds to the worth, right? Just like, There's one thing that knowing my fucking uncle, like theoretically knowing that my uncle ran marathons, and then until I tried running a marathon myself, and oh, did my respect just fucking deepen and reach new levels, right? So I don't think most people know, even probably not theoretical. Like I will forever refer to the time when California, when people ask me, where do Frappuccinos actually grow? And I'm thinking that it's satire. I'm literally looking around me. Am I being punked when this fucking frat boy, 15 years old, asked me, but where do Frappuccino goes? And then looking back after I looked around me to see if there's a hidden camera, I look him and I'm seeing that he's awaiting a response from me.
No, I think there, I saw somebody talking about it, and I don't mean to take this off into a different
Go,
tangent,
go,
but
go, go.
there was a post talking about how, people, complain, like, why, I don't know why people complain about kids not knowing how to read a, an analog clock or doing cursive or blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, the reason why you should know the analog behind the digital aspect is because when the digital goes down, you should still be able to keep going. It should not be life stopping, right? It might slow down. That makes sense. If I have to send a message by way of Pony Express rather than in an email, I understand that's going to take more time, but at least the message goes, And so the idea that you don't know how to mail a letter, or you don't know how to, how to butcher a cow, or dress a deer, or gut a fish, or whatever, and or grow something in a yard, right? And the idea that you don't know what goes into that is not okay. Like
It's
the idea,
disturbing.
you can't live, you might be able to live without it for a while, but you can't, but you do technically rely on that analog. You just rely on somebody else knowing it for you. That's it.
Oof.
And then they have
Oh.
to digitize it for you. And if they don't, you're fucked, right? So you're
Right.
sitting there ceding a lot of your own freedom in the process. Now, I use a lot of digital shit. I admit that, but can I go out and do it? Could I do the math that I do in spreadsheets? Could I do it myself? Yes, I could. I could still do that. I know exactly what the logic is and what
Right.
the algorithm is.
It'll just take significantly
It's
longer.
going to just take a lot longer, but I could totally do it. And that, but the idea that you can't means that when the program is down, you don't have the thing to do the thing for you anymore, right? And so to me, that's like, I there's something not right about that. And I remember commenting. I said, right, I might not use an abacus every day, but I know how to use an abacus. I might not use a, I might not use a, a hand clock every day, but I know how to read one if I saw one. Like, you should still have the knowledge, because in the event that you don't have the digital thing, what do? Just fucking sit there and hold your dick until somebody comes along and fixes it for you? Like, that's a lot of
Right.
freedom to let go of when you think about it.
That's
Like,
a lot of infantilization, though, of
it
yourself.
is. I would be anxious. I would actually be, I'm not an anxious person, but
Well,
I would be
now
anxious if
we
I didn't
know.
know.
So conclusion, we fucking solved the world. Anxiety comes from knowing that you're incapable.
Or ignorance,
From
if
the
I could put it that way.
awareness that you're incapable.
Right. Or that you are ignorant, right? Like, you just don't know. And so you think that, you just kind of wait for this godlike technology to come down and give you what you need. And it's like, I mean, there's movies about this shit, where like everybody's sitting there waiting for their rations to show up. Like, I mean, it's like, I think The Giver was that one of those where it was just like everybody just sits there and then like meals just show up and these are your meals, And it's just like, I don't know. I don't like, I don't, the whole idea of people freaking out about your truck, about your diet, about your, about whatever it is, your guns, your fucking vaccination status, because of safety, is like, they do not know how to take responsibility for their own safety. And so they are putting it on everybody else. Because it's not even about, okay, so you said it was about their feelings, right? And I'm thinking, no, it's not. It's not really about their feelings. It's about the fact that they think they're entitled to you taking measures to make them feel safe. So it goes beyond
100%.
just their feelings. Like, I could sit in my feelings, but if I'm sitting here saying I don't want to feel this way, and I believe that you, Bara, are responsible for doing something to fix this for me, then that's where the legislation comes in. They are legislating the behavior for the sole purpose of engineering society to cater to their lowest common denominator mentality of, I don't know how to process a big truck. I don't know how to deal with the existence of a gun. I don't know, you know.
Well, which all comes down, I don't know how to exist with other people's existence that isn't similar to mine.
Right. I really need to be in a bubble with other people just like me, or I'm really fucked, you know? And it's just like the idea that there's very little room for plurality, because they already have like this padded room that their brain is in, you know, like it's already this safe, soft place. And it's really hard for them to process the idea that, like, outside of my brain, everything hurts. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, everything can hurt you. So be careful. Like, that's what you do, you know? Like, I don't know.
Well, it's, and I fucking hate that because I sound like even though I'm taking back the word and I'm empowering the word redneck, right? But there's something that happens when you're around nature where you get where you're being confronted that, you know, there's no legislating against a fucking rattlesnake. No one really cares. Like, no one cares about your feelings. No one is going to inquire about your feelings nor opinion. No one is going to, you know, put you a debate with you, like, what, you know, should this exist? The rattlesnake exists.
Yes.
Now what you gonna do?
Right.
Yes. No, there's no calling someone, yo, there's a rattlesnake in front of me, fucking help. No, you take the step back.
Right.
You walk away from the rattlesnake, right? And it sounds so simplistic, but there's such responsibility in that behavior.
Right. Right. And I think people put a lot of stock in legislation and they lose sight of all the moral hazard that comes with that. You know, that, you know, like, for example, there was some sort of talk, and I know this exists, I just don't know the specifics, but there's a law about trucks in the US that has to do with emissions. And under a certain weight, it's no longer considered a truck. It's considered something else.
That's California, by the way.
Well, I think it's now in the U.S. because manufacturers.
Oh, like the whole U.S. now.
Yes, because there is a truck that Toyota makes that is $10,000 everywhere else but the United States and cannot be sold in the United States because of the specifications of said truck. More people could have affordable trucks, brand new from Toyota, but they're not allowed here. And there's regulations around that. I wrote about it before. I'd have to go find it, but that exists. And it's like, what you're not understanding is that when you put these kinds of restrictions on there, you're asking people who have no fucking clue how any of this shit works. You know, like nobody knows, nobody in fucking Congress knows how the fuck automotive industries work. They don't know how energy works. They don't know how anything works. They have no idea how business works. They've never owned a business. They've never run anything.
The Minister of Agriculture is afraid of cows.
Right. And so now we're afraid, you know, so now we're sitting here cowering in our corners about the fact that cows fart, you know, and if they keep farting, we're all going to be dead within, you know, 12 years. And it's just like that's not a thing. It's just not a thing. Like, but people have fixated on certain things. They read an article, the article fixates on a particular thing, and everybody blows it up, and then they, you know, and they freak out about it. And I mean, if you watch I've watched like these documentaries that kind of that simulate the evolution of the earth, like the whole earth, right? And all of its phases and what it went through, right? And how many times shit went extinct long before human beings ever came onto the scene, okay? When it was just fucking plants and algae and shit, and they were killing themselves. Like there was too much algae, and then it, you know, and then it suffocated the life, and da 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 da, and then this, and had to start all over. Like everything died, and then everything came back, and then things came back differently, and blah blah blah, and this whole cycle of life thing, right? And I'm like, us fucking around is not gonna. No, like it's just too arrogant.
The overinflated self-importance.
The level of hubris, right? The level of fucking hubris it takes to say, yes, we as a species are so fucking awesome. We could destroy a planet. No, you could destroy yourself, but I don't know that you can destroy the planet. I think the planet's gonna be fine. Planet's gonna be fine until it's not fine. And when it's not fine, there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it. All your special bags and light bulbs and special
You're
cars.
not being consulted on what,
No.
like, no.
No one cares. It's the rattlesnake of the universe at this point. And it's gonna
It's
do what
the
it's gonna do.
hurricane. It's the
Right.
earthquake.
Yeah.
It's the volcano
Right. It's gonna
exploding.
do what it's gonna do. And it was on the chart, and it was already gonna happen long before you were a glimmer in your mother's eye. Like
And even right before humanity existed, like those things
correct.
were happening.
Correct. Horrible things. Like the level of destruction that they were showing. I'm just like, my God, we went through the planet went through several apocalypses. Like massive apocalypse. I'm just like, fuck me. And I'm like, there's nothing we're gonna do that's gonna outdo the shit that happened without our help. So fuck it. Go get your goddamn truck. Go get your incandescent light bulb. And go get a cow that farts, and because
I
it
want 7 trucks on every property in different colors. I want Lamborghinis. I want all motorcycles, and I'm going to be revving them at every traffic light.
Yes, and nothing will happen.
And nothing will
Goddamn
happen.
thing.
So, but since we're talking about the online world, let's talk about your post that elicited lots of "Mommy, mommy, change my diaper. Mommy, mommy, hurt my feelings. Mommy, why You made a post about how I'll have to pull it up. That you prefer brutal truth over.
Over petty
Give me the word.
lies, over lies.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
So,
one. The brutal truth works for is go ahead, go ahead, state your
yeah,
point.
no, I mean, that was, you know, and I couched it as my preference. As, you know, I don't have any respect for somebody who can't just be honest with me. Like, just fucking say it. Whatever it is, just say it. For better or for worse, we'll figure it out. Okay. Like, but, and I'm thinking, you know, and I'm like, so no matter how horrible the truth is, and no matter how bad you think it is, it probably isn't, to be honest. You know, there, what, you know, it, I've, you know, the idea that I've been so sheltered that I wouldn't be able to process this profound thing you're about to say to me is, I mean, is almost insulting, right? It's insulting that you would lie. It's insulting that you would consider a lie. It's insulting that you feel like I'm not grown up enough to handle such a thing. And it's insulting that, you know, that this is what we're resorting to, is that I'd re you know that I need to sit here and really deeply think about how I'm going to couch the thing. And it's like, you know, it's the whole thing is just like you said, infantilizing, really, because I'm like, okay, so I'm not grown. You can't talk to me like a grown ass woman. Like, you're that fearful of me. Like, what kind, you know, like my mom tried to pull that crap once with me, and I was just like, and she's like, you're scaring me. And I was like, no, I'm fucking not. Shut up. I said, I've never done anything to you. Where are you getting this from? You know, she's, you know, I said, no matter how calm I try to be, you're sitting there telling me that I scare you. I'm like, no, you need to go think about that. Go sit down. I'm like, I got so pissed. I'm like, no, you don't get to accuse me of being scary. You know, my son tried that shit. And I was like, no, that's manipulative. Don't say that. You know, I'm not threatening you. There was nothing in what I said that threatened you at all. I've never struck you. I've never hit you. I've never done anything forceful to you. I said, no. That's not what you are. You're not scared.
You're uncomfortable.
You're uncomfortable, and you got busted in some bullshit. That's what happened. I said, and being busted in bullshit has you scared of something because you think there's a consequence involved in it, and you don't know what it is. I said, but that's not the same as me being a scary person. I haven't done anything to you. You know?
Except for knowing that the consequence is not going to be fun and pleasant.
probably
to
not
whatever
business. Yeah, but
spectrum.
I'm like, give me a fucking break. I'm like, what do you think? I'm just gonna fucking end it here? Like, this is it? This is the bridge we're all dying on now? I'm like, you think it's that important? You know, and that you're that important? Like, calm down, bro. You know? So, I mean, I have to take it down for people who really think that, like, I'm scary. I'm like, I'm not fucking scary. I am 5'4" and 115 pounds. That's not scary by any definition in humanity, except maybe in Japan, I'm kind of average. But like, but here, no way. You know, like, fuck. So, I mean, I've got people freaking out about the brutality. So everybody got fixated on the brutality aspect, right? It's not the truth part. It's the brutality. And I'm just like, and let's say it was. Let's say it was really fucked up. Let's say I said some shit and it was really fucked up. Does that add or subtract from the truthfulness of the statement? That's the question, right? Because if it doesn't detract from the truthfulness, but it just makes it more bitter to swallow, that's not the same, right? That's not the fucking same.
What they're insinuating is that, or desiring is, I am willing to tolerate your truth and honesty, but only if you deliver it in a manner that holds my feelings as a priority.
Right. And it's not. And it's not. And
how dare you?
But I think more importantly is that, you know, I've noticed that there are, and it's not to say that I have nobody who'd be honest with me. That's not what it is. But there are certain people who know me in certain contexts, say like at work, right? And the only person willing to say anything is going to be the person who hates me the most. But everybody else is so nice to me because they like me that they're not, that they don't see, they can't look at me objectively and say, you know, this is a flaw, right? She needs to fix this. They're so busy saying, she's just so easy to work with. She's just so nice about this. And she's so that. And so liking me kind of prevents them from being objective enough to be able to give me proper constructive criticism. So the only person willing to give it to me is some bitch who hates me, but they tell me, and I'm like, okay, I thank you. Right. And it's like, okay, I get it. And she's not going to say it the best way. She's going to say it in a shitty way. She's going to say it in a condescending way. And she's probably going to say it in a humiliating way when everybody's on a fucking conference call and I'm just sitting there with the spotlight on me. That has happened, but who cares? Like,
well,
this is your big shiny moment.
Oh, sorry. Oh, exactly.
Ahead. Yeah.
No, Jared, he's a Canadian comedian who performed a lot in Austin, Texas, in a Kiltony club, but several places. So he stutters. He's retarded, right? And he makes fun of that. Like, that's his shtick. And it's so interesting to have to observe the responses of the virtue people. Because so he consciously brings himself to a spot where he's to be humiliated and he can shoot back, right? Like that's the dynamic of the club. And I don't know the right wording, so I'm butchering, I'm not doing verbatim, but the sentiment was, I love that, you know, they're coming from me here because they're the only, these harsh comedians are the only ones who do, because the rest of the world is too busy trying to not inflict any feelings on me that I don't even have.
Yes. No, I get it. There was a similar sentiment expressed by Sammy Davis Jr. on a celebrity roast back in the 70s. So Sammy Davis Jr. is a black Jew, part of the Rat Pack, and he was a crooner, okay? And he and Dean Martin had a celebrity roast that was super famous, had like multiple seasons. Like, it was just hilarious. And Don Rickles was the person, Don Rickles, fuck, I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was known for being so savage. He would tear, but they always had him on because he was the best roaster, okay? There were others on there who were more passive aggressive, would make little, you know, side jives and stuff, but he was the one that came for it. And he usually came at the end. So it was like, you get through all of these other people and then here comes, you know, comes Don, and Don is going to fuck you up. And he did. He dragged Sammy Davis Jr. like just fucking through the mud twice, ran over him and shit. Like, it was just brutal, right? People are laughing. People, I mean, this is in the 70s, okay? So it's like post civil rights act and everything,
right?
And all this stuff. And at the end, he goes, at the end, he says, you know, he says, "You're a great guy." He says, you deserve more than what you got. He says, and, you know, and nobody appreciates you more than we do here. And you've got nothing but friends and love on this stage, blah, blah, blah. So at the end, he's gracious, right? He doesn't apologize, but he's gracious. And he said, and he wraps it up with that. And he says, "We do all this because we love you." And Sammy Davis Jr. responds and says, "We laugh because we have to, because if we don't, then we've lost our way." And then he gets up and his only speech is, "I couldn't be more honored."
Now, before we end the episode, I am confident that you wouldn't just leave without hitting like, without hitting subscribe, without hitting that share button, right? You want to do that to me. I'm up in here connecting with people, wanting you to be a part of the conversation, and you would almost leave? Come on, don't be like that.
Because to have so many people care enough about me to drag me is an immense privilege. Thank you. That was it, okay? And I wish more people saw that, because I'm sitting here fucking dropping eggs and crying, you know, like, "Oh my God, that's the best," you know, because it was so moving, because it was so concise after watching this brutal bloodbath roasting from Don. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And the reality was, is he's like, "You have to laugh, because that's how you mock it away. You mock the racism away. You mock the bigotry away," because he's been through, you know, he'd been through a lot in the United States. You know, Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra were standing up for him left and right. And Frank Sinatra created his own label because people weren't taking, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. Like, there was a lot of work done, and there was a lot of camaraderie to get Sammy Davis Jr. across the finish line of the Civil Rights Act, and to get on the other side of that, and to have everybody dogpile on him, and they did this to everybody, but like, it was a spectacle. Nobody would tolerate it today. Nobody today could listen to that. Like, I was looking at Chris, like, there's no fucking way anybody could listen to this. But he took.
I wonder, Alex Hormozi spoke. I think I'm starting to think it's about this person, where he says, like, the only way to deal with insults is to one up them yourself.
Right.
So when someone says, "Holy shit, you're such a fucking loser," and he's like, "You don't know half of it. Like, it's way worse, like, behind the scenes."
Right.
Like, there's nothing, like, there's nothing.
You take the wind out of their sails.
That's the end of the conversation.
Right. You take the wind out of their sails. When, if somebody was actually maliciously telling me something, the best I could do would be to say, "You're probably right. I'll take it under advisement." That's what I said. When it happened to me, I'm on a conference call and somebody's dragging my ass and they're going off. And I'm just like, "You're probably right. Let me look into it." They couldn't keep going. There was nothing left. It takes the wind out of their sails. And I'm like, if you can laugh at it, if you can take it in stride, there is no such thing as cruel words anymore, right? You have disqualified the cruelty in that. So like, that's the difference between physical brutality and, you know, verbal brutality, is that verbal brutality, you have a lot more control on what happens to you. In physical brutality, you don't. So I don't understand why people are not eager, well, I guess I kind of do, to take that kind of control and command of the situation and say, this does not have to be painful. This does not have to be what it's perceived to be, or what they want it to be. It doesn't have to land that way. You know, it can land differently if I maneuver my thinking just a bit, you know?
Right. Well, so and insults hurt because a part of you or a former you believe them to be true.
Right. Something about that hit a nerve. where it resonated with you a little bit too much, you know? I mean, there's a difference between if somebody said, Kelly, you're a cow, it wouldn't really resonate with me because I've never really, I
You and
mean,
your zebra head, you'd be like, oh.
right. And like, I've never, that's never been a thing I've been insecure about or thought about. So it's
Right.
kind of like, it would just be a weird thing. And I'd just be like, okay, I guess. I don't know what to do with that. And it wouldn't resonate with me. Whereas when certain things come out that have always been a sensitive issue with you, and you're trying to get over that, and somebody taps that nerve, it likely would hurt and it likely would be painful or, you know, or difficult to process. And I think it's not that I look for the worst way to say something, that's not it. But I do often look for, I default to the most efficient. Right. So anytime I have something to say, I'm just going to default to what I want. And I'm not really going to couch it in anything else. So like, for example, at work, I don't say good morning. I don't say, hey, how are you doing? I don't, because I don't really care. I
Real
don't want you to
talk.
think I actually want to know. That's not really a thing. And, you know, but I'll, you know, but I'll say, I'm still waiting on this, you know. No, good morning. No, how are you? How was your weekend? None of that. Just, hey, I'm still waiting on this. When can I expect it? And that'll be it. And when people see me on conference calls, they know. They know who I am. You know, they know what kind of person I am. But they're just not expecting that all the time, every time. They're, you know, that's not, I'm not going to perform for you in chats and in emails. I'm just going to get to the crux of what's needed because here's the problem. If I keep putting all this nice shit in there, you're going to miss the few things that I need out of it, you know? And it happens all the time.
You're gonna
My
dilute the
bullet points are
urgency
huge.
in the hierarchy.
And I'm like, the priority is work, you know? And it's like, I understand that you don't like how this is getting done. And look, I can also see, and I did say this, I said, you know, diplomacy has a place. It does. Diplomacy
Sure.
and tact absolutely has a place. And that place is whether or not it's important to me that you get it and accept it. Right? Because diplomacy is the peanut butter I bury the pill in so that you'll swallow it. You know? So the pill remains the same, but I'm gonna put it in some peanut butter so you don't under so you don't feel the like you're eating something
You're
you don't want to
choking
eat. Yeah, I'm gonna bury it. And that's what I'm doing because it's more important to me that you swallow this pill. Now, if it's not important to me, right, it's gonna show, right? I don't have to sell shit. I don't need to sell you on anything. Believe me, don't believe me, it doesn't fucking matter. And I've taken that line with a lot of people, you know, where I'm just like, you don't have to believe me, you don't have to listen to me, you don't have to do anything. I don't need this in order for me to get on with my life. Like, you can literally ignore me entirely and it doesn't matter. Like, my life is not affected at all. But in cases where I need people to listen to me and I need them to act a certain way, yeah, I'm going to be far more diplomatic because I need something from them, you know? And it is just exactly that. Is it that I'm being disingenuous? No, it's that my need for you to accept it isn't nearly as urgent as it is in this situation as it is in this one. And it's not that I'm, you know, maybe I am a bad person. I don't fucking know. But like, but at the end of the day,
Sis, you're asking the wrong person. You're talking to the wrong person.
right?
Maybe
Well, that's the thing. Like,
am a microphone.
you know, but if I need you to, I mean, if it was that urgent, I would make an effort for you to really grab onto what I'm saying, you know? And if it wasn't, I wouldn't.
So good. So good. And again, we solved the world.
Again, yet
You're
another.
welcome.
You're welcome, world. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yes.
We've been receiving a lot of positive feedback, and we've been receiving one negative, one star. Our first one star.
We got a one star from who?
Yeah.
What did it say? Did it have a comment or just one star?
Just one star. And all the people who have like good comments and responding to the poll, they're like, oh my God, I needed this. Oh, this is great. Thank you. Oh my God, this was an excellent. Oh, this provoked thought. And then one star.
Ah, One container of leftovers. One
Love it.
leftover.
One leftover, one star. Oh my God, so good.
Keeping us
Okay.
humble.
This is the thing. The only people that can humble us are above our tax bracket.
That's correct. That's correct. That's true.
Everyone, diamonds and demons, today at Fearless Wealth. We'll see y'all next week again. Have
All
a good
right.
one.